I know it's been a short week, but it sure has been a busy week. And Kansas U.S. Senator Roger Marshall, always on the move. He joins us on KCMO. Tuesday, the senator hosted a roundtable in KCK to talk about the fentanyl crisis that is not just impacting, obviously, the entire nation, but also right here in the Kansas City area. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for being here. What were your takeaways from that roundtable that you hosted earlier this week?
Yeah, Pete. Well, good morning. You're right. I'm on the move. I'm walking to the Capitol as we speak for an early morning meeting. Takeaways. Nobody is going to escape this, that fentanyl is in every community in Kansas. The cartel has a presence in the Kansas City metro, and they are poisoning our children. That not even one pill, but even one half of one pill can kill somebody. The kids are ordering this online. It's easier for them to get fentanyl than it is to order pizza. If you can go online, you can order this, and it's cheaper than pizza. For $5, you can get a fentanyl pill that will kill you. Isn't that exciting? The kids are ordering Adderall. They're ordering Percocet. It's even in marijuana now, unknowing to these children. I say children. They're young adults. This is the number one killer of young adults. Second takeaway is just how incredibly hard the community is working together. Everybody from the school systems and the health departments, the community health centers, the police, the sheriffs, the KBI, the DEA, how they're all working together, and we are expending huge amounts of resources to try to slow it down, but it is truly an epidemic. Every day in Kansas, a young adult dies from fentanyl poisoning.
It's horrible, and it seems like this is the worst kind of a drug crisis we can have, where it's not the heroin epidemic, because these are kids who are taking what they think is a Percocet that is laced with fentanyl. They don't know it, and it's killing them, a la like a Cooper Davis. I know his mother, Libby, was there the other day, and she's done incredible work here in the Kansas City area to try to bring awareness to this issue. What did she have to say, and what were the takeaways from how to help prevent this, whether it's at the state level or the federal government level?
Right, and certainly I do salute Libby. She's done three or four of these with me. She goes to schools and tells Cooper's story. A junior in high school ordered two Percocet tablets online. He took a half a tablet and died. So she shares that story. And, she's unfortunately the face of this in the Kansas City metro area, that this could be your kid next. This is easier. These kids can get fentanyl easier than you and I could get a beer when we were 17 years old. Now, when I was in high school, the drinking age was 18. So it was pretty easy to get a beer from a senior in high school while you were a junior. So she told her story. And I think she's just an inspiration for everyone to say, my goodness. Here's this family that's living happily ever after, and suddenly their life is rocked forever. And I think, again, that it's the poisoning part of this to drive that home. Cooper did not overdose. He was poisoned.
Yeah.
And I think that our law enforcement agents, that's the way they want to prosecute this. So I think that's the inspiration, is how is we as law enforcement, working with law enforcement, what can I do to empower them? And one of the things I've done, working with the DEA, is try to get fentanyl to be a Schedule I drug. That would give them more tools and better ways to prosecute these horrible criminals, the cartel.
What, Senator Marshall's on KCMO, whatever came of, I know you were pushing this, you called it the Cooper Davis Act, and it required, as I recall, law enforcement, or it required the social media companies to work with local law enforcement when it comes to drug deals happening on their platforms. Whatever came out of that?
Right. So that's the Cooper Davis Act. We are waiting for the Judiciary Committee here in the Senate to hold a formal hearing on that particular law. And like you said, it forces social media to proactively work with police when they see illicit drug sales going on. I thought I had it all teed up. Richard Durbin is the chairman of that committee, a Democrat from Illinois, a good friend. He's co-sponsoring that bill with us, along with Gene Shaheen, another Democrat, whose state has been significantly impacted by this. But it's being held up. I mean, just to be frank, we got some politics going on with Democrats across the aisle. A couple, a senator that wants to protect social media companies in California, and another one concerned I'm just going to keep his concerns to myself. I don't want to dirty the water here, because I think we can work through some of these challenges. And that's what my job is.
Okay.
Is to work across the aisle to get this across the finish line. So believe it or not, we have Democrats holding this up. Otherwise, if I can get it to the floor, it's going to pass.
Okay. Well, we'll be following and watching that closely. Now, speaking of things, Senator Marshall, that are on the front burner, I guess you would say, that's, of course, this debt ceiling. It passed the House last night convincingly. Where do you think this thing is in the Senate, and where are you at right now on this?
Right, Pete. Well, this is boy, I've been praying for wisdom on this one, what to do with it. And at the end of the day, I cannot support it. I salute Speaker McCarthy for all of his efforts. I don't think I could have negotiated a better deal than he could. And your listeners just need to understand, this is what America gave us. They gave us one of the three levers of the appropriation process. So he got as much as he can get. I blame Joe Biden on this. We have $31 trillion of national debt. And all this bill does is slow down his increase in spending. So rather than spending $1.3 trillion this year, he's going to spend $1.2. And instead of borrowing $14 trillion over the next 10 years, he's going to only borrow $12 trillion. And he can still come back next month and ask for another $100 billion for Ukraine. So I just don't think it does enough for me to get there. But I believe that our national debt is the number one threat to our national security. I think it's the number one threat to our economy, to the future of our children, and it does not address it enough. That being said, Pete, I think it's going to pass. I think they've got the votes to pass it, but it cannot have. I cannot put my name on it, say that I approve of it.
Okay, and all the reasons well taken, understood. Now, when you look at this, though, and you say, hey, Republicans right now have a 4-vote majority in the House, don't have the Senate, don't have the White House, it seems like there are some pretty good things in this in terms of getting, hopefully, the country back on track, and then you have a windfall in 2024. There's just not enough victories in here for you? Is that what it comes down to?
Right, Pete. Number one, it really impacts the national debt minimally. And again, I blame Joe Biden, not Kevin McCarthy. Number two, the permitting reforms that people are talking about are dust in the wind. There's nothing really there. There are exceptions. They've written this really so that the White House can manipulate any type of those types of permitting issues. And then the work requirements is nothing. It actually ends up worse. That's just it. You have to read what you're going to sign. So when I read through the work requirements, actually it's going to cost Americans more. So they exempt some other people, and then they raise the age on the SNAP benefits from, I don't know, 49 to 54. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's nothing. And really what I wanted those work requirements for are people on Medicaid, people that are getting free health care. I think that those folks, if they're, you know, healthy, they don't have children at home, that they need to be able to go back to work. And we're only asking for 20 hours a week. So, and by the way, 80% of Americans think that work is a good idea, that it's dignity. It brings dignity to a person. It's part of the solution. It's not a problem.
Senator Marshall, we appreciate you being here. Thank you, as always, for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Pete, do we got any chance of getting that wide receiver from Arizona? I need some inside scoop.
DeAndre Hopkins. Mark, yeah. Give me a heads up. What do you think? What should we tell the senator on the odds of DeAndre Hopkins coming to town?
I think it's a 50-50 shot.
50-50 shot. What do you think of that, Senator? 50-50 shot.
I will take it, but it sounds like the wide receivers are working hard in camp, but I think there's room for Mr. Hopkins on this roster, too. Thank you so much, Pete.
You bet, Senator. We'll talk to you soon. That is Roger Marshall on KCMO Talk Radio.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Appreciate him coming on.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.